Hey, this is Brian from your friendly neighborhood Infamous podcast, and we have a deal for you. If you go to comixology.com right now and spend $15, when you check out, use the code Infamous and you get $5 off. That's right. When you spend $15 on comics at comixology.com, you get $5 off when you use the code Infamous. So go help out the show and your friends at the Infamous podcast and get some digital comics. You're welcome. Hey, welcome back to the Infamous podcast. This is episode 139. I'm Brian.
This is Johnny.
And this week we are talking about Voltron, Toys R Us, and the badass new Avengers trailer that came out.
Yeah.
So let's start with the Avengers trailer.
Sure.
I don't want it to sound like it was never excited for this movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, okay, this looks okay. It looks good. I haven't seen like a whole lot, which is great. But there hadn't been that like hook that really got me excited for it.
Really?
And this one did it. And it was because of the personal interactions with the characters. So seeing Tony and Star-Lord.
Yeah.
The stuff with Peter and Doctor Strange at the end is what really kind of got me. And then Gamora's tiny little hand on Thanos's hand was... It was like, okay, man, this looks like it's going to be something different. It's not just an Avengers rehash. It's not a disaster movie necessarily where they're going to...
Yeah, because it's a Russo brother movie, right. Not a Joss Whedon movie.
True.
I mean, we've already seen what they can do with these characters.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, in the Avengers Absolutely. Captain America Civil War last year.
Yeah, Avengers 2.5.
Yeah, I would say something like that. The true sequel to the Avengers.
Avengers 2. Let's pretend like Ultron never happened.
Like Age of Ultron didn't happen.
So Age of Ultron was a...
That Age way we can introduce thing. An Ultron that actually is the real Ultron that, well, you know, wants to kill everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he wanted to kill everything.
Yeah, he wanted to do it in a smarmy, sarcastic James Spader way.
Anywho. I think the trailer looked great. We got a good look of everyone in Wakanda.
Yeah.
So it was on the one side, it was Falcon, and on the other side, it was War Machine.
Yeah. Did he decide he didn't want to be an Avenger now?
I don't know. Who knows?
Working with Cap and that?
I mean, maybe Tony sent him over there to keep everyone in line.
Maybe.
So we got some Shuri in there, or Shuri.
Who's in the Hulkbuster armor?
I don't know. Pepper?
No.
No?
No, I think it's Bruce.
So you think
he's
the
afraid
Hulk
to turn back into the Hulk?
Well, the Hulk's in that
the Hulk's
last
in
scene
there
where they're
in that
running.
Last scene,
but you think Bruce?
I think
that's
Bruce is in it and is afraid to turn into the Hulk
because of what happened in Ragnarok.
Yeah, and all that, and then like you know he has no choice but to turn into the Hulk at a certain point.
Okay, I like that.
Yeah,
that's
I
cool.
think that would be cool.
That would be really really cool.
Yeah.
So
because I can't
lot
think
of
anybody else that would be in the Hulkbuster armor.
Coulson.
Oh, you keep, he might be in there for a minute.
It's for a second.
Yeah.
Thor can be like, son of Cole, verily.
Yeah. Now he's too busy going and getting his new hammer.
Thor, yeah.
Yeah.
Stonebreaker.
Yeah. Stormbreaker.
Stormbreaker, that's
right. And a new eye.
I don't think he's getting a new eye.
Oh, he's getting a new eye.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll see about that one.
Well, just because of the way the action figures all, like some of them have patches and some
I
of
still
them
think it was because they're too lazy to do a mold on some of those heads.
I think there's something more to it.
Because with the short hair, it's kind of like the Hawkeye mold on some of the heads for the bigger Thors that have two eyes.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I don't know. Anyway, it looks awesome. It definitely added a whole bunch. I loved the scene with Tom Holland and Benedict Cumberbatch where he goes, "Hey, I'm Peter," and he goes, "I'm Doctor Strange," and he goes, "Oh, we're using our made up names." And it was just so funny.
I'm Spider-Man.
Yeah, I'm Spider-Man. And he's wearing, you know, the Spider-Man costume. Yeah. But yeah, it was very funny. And the look on Benedict Cumberbatch's face, I really hope that's actually in the movie.
Yeah, I could deal with this guy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's how Doctor Strange kind of treats Peter anyway.
Well, all of them.
Well, true. Very true. Very, I mean, very true.
He's probably the smartest man in the room.
Yeah. Probably the most powerful, too.
Yeah.
If you really want to think about it.
No, that's Cap.
Cap is the most powerful. So
he's the only one who could stop Thanos.
I was gonna say the final scene there where he's holding the glove up. Uh-huh. It's like Thanos is coming down. He's kind of like, why is this guy able to stop me? Like, it was really cool. I'm really interested to see when and how the Guardians get there.
I think that we'll probably I want to say that the beginning of the movie is going to be the Guardians.
Yeah,
because it's going to be the end of Ragnarok and. You know, the whole part where Thanos is holding Thor by the head and
killing Loki. That's what a lot of people are conjecturing, that he's making Loki's him watch die. Loki die.
Well, the four standing around Loki.
Yeah.
So, you know.
I did like the one where Doctor Strange had like the needles going in.
One of the children
And I forget which one that is. Yeah. But yeah, it's...
The one is going to be the Build-A-Figure. And the next Avengers Infinity War set.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And the big one that was in the back.
Yeah.
And then Proxima Midnight is in...
she's one of the... You can...
Yeah, she's in the new set, set that just came out. And, like, she's been in the comic books. The other ones, I don't know. I think their names have been changed.
Yeah.
I think they are going along with their similar to characters that have been in the comic.
I'm all right with
that. But I'm pretty sure Proxima Midnight, like, is actually from the... What was it?
The Infinity Gauntlet.
No, the Infinity.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Okay.
Which
I'm trying to remember if I read that one or not.
I don't think I did. I think the last of the miniseries I read was Secret War.
Okay. I'll be honest, my Thanos knowledge is probably not necessarily where it should be.
Yeah.
Just because I've never been like a huge...
Well, I get the feeling that the whole thing with Gamora at the... Yeah. With the
baby, little baby girl Gamora.
Not baby Gamora. She's walking. Yeah. I mean, come on.
Toddler Gamora.
Yeah, you can say that. Yeah, little Gamora. I think that's where you're going to see where he got the gauntlet.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Like where he went to her planet and wiped out the people. And,
That the gauntlet was on their planet.
Now, I did read something that said that his planet was called Titan. And I don't know if he's from the moon of Saturn, Titan.
Well,
like
that's what it is in the comic, but I don't know what they did in the movie.
Yeah, so I think they kind of fussed with that a little bit, which
they might have.
That really doesn't matter. I mean, always having it within the universe kind of felt weird that, to me, it always felt weird that there was one guy that killed everybody on the moon in our universe where there's people who travel around at this point. Mm. So, but no, I think
Well, he was the Mad Titan in the comic.
Mad Titan.
And there's other Titans that he didn't kill everybody.
Okay.
And that it's just that there's like multiple different origins of him. There's the one where his mom might have been a Skrull.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is that why he's got the little
his
chin?
Yeah, why he has a Skrull chin.
Now, I did like that that miniseries that came out a couple years ago about him where it was kind of revisiting, doing a victory lap, so to speak.
Yeah,
of like a bunch of the different planets that he killed, and
which
like death
was
by his side. I think it was just called Thanos. It was a six-issue miniseries, and it wasn't one of those series that Marvel launched and then canceled after six.
Right.
It was like one of six. So I actually got that and read it, and it was really good, and the art was good. I don't remember who did it, but
I mean,
it's on Comixology.
With the Infinity Gauntlet, the things that you want to read are the Thanos Quest and then Infinity Gauntlet.
Right.
I mean, because Thanos Quest shows how he gets each of those gems, so... And it's pretty bloody.
Yeah.
So.
Anyway.
I'll be curious if we see death.
Yeah, I'm not thinking we will. I'm thinking
maybe
we
in
won't.
The second part.
I think that's what the second part will probably be. Yeah. Now, are they going to do the Marvel thing where they kind of wipe everybody out and then bring them back in the next movie? Or are they going to futz with time somehow with
the
Infinity?
Well, one of the gems is time.
I mean, and that's the one that's
Once all the gems are on the glove, you have ultimate power.
Right.
So you snap your finger and take out half the universe just with a snap.
That's what Gamora says in the
That's what he does in the original story.
Yeah.
So
it'll be interesting.
I mean, that's the thing is like a lot of it's going to be different than the original story, but they use the original Infinity story as a reference tool. I mean, there was the picture they showed back when they were filming of that book.
Yeah.
That big omnibus.
Oh,
and all the little, like...
Oh, the sticky notes sticking out.
Yeah, the sticky notes sticking out of it. And it's like, yeah, because there's a lot of cool stuff in there that you visually can do in a movie that will be cool too, but there's stuff in that story that doesn't work.
Right.
The X-Men aren't there.
Yeah.
The Fantastic Four aren't there, you know.
True.
I mean, in the Marvel Universe during that period of time, there was probably 500 characters that appeared at some point in that story.
Yeah.
Well, there's not 500 characters in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. No, not in the MCU.
I think there's less than 40.
I mean, if they did a Flash, like right before he snaps his fingers, which will probably happen at the end of this movie, I would be willing to bet that that's what they'll lead into the next one, is you might see a Flash, a Daredevil, you might see, you know, but it's will they use existing footage and just throw it in there? Maybe you'll see that. I think it would be cool of them to do that, but they don't have to do that. But the Russo brothers do a pretty good job of trying to
I trust them. So. Yeah. So cool. Cool, cool, cool. So April 27th coming up.
Yep.
Not too far off. Kind of excited.
Yeah.
Not going to lie.
Wonder how that'll affect Free Comic Book Day.
It's that Saturday.
No, it's the week after. Yeah. Yeah. It was supposed to be, the whole reason that Free Comic Book Day exists is because these movies come out and people come into the comic book store the next day.
I think maybe people will be excited from having seen it and come in.
Maybe.
A week later. So they have 2 weeks of comic-y, geeky goodness.
Maybe.
All right. All right. So
it'll be the first time that there wasn't a comic book movie the day before Free Comic Book Day.
That's true. Because normally we go on Thursday night for those.
Yeah.
All right, Toys R Us.
Yeah?
Toy gatherers around the planet. Oh, I'm kidding.
Oh, God.
Okay, so to get the joke, Cousin Kenny, who's been on a few times, and I've been joking around lately about how toy hunting is kind of silly to call it hunting. It's like you go to the grocery store and you call it hunting. That's Kenny's point. So I jokingly have started calling them toy gatherers, and they don't hunt for toys, they forage for toys. Anyway,
see,
it's just being stupid. I think
the hunting thing is a legitimate thing because, you know, my dad was a hunter.
Sure.
Is a hunter still, I should say, not was a hunter. You know, hunts animals.
Yeah.
For food.
Mm-hmm.
We don't just use them for trophies. We eat the animal. It's pretty much the same thing because you go to a lot of different places looking for something.
Yeah.
And when you found it, you got it.
Okay.
Except it's a trophy at that point. So it's hunting for trophies.
Okay. I get it. Yeah. Trophy hunting. So, sure.
I mean, you know, it's the same as getting coins in Super Mario Brothers or something like that.
Yeah. I don't call that hunting.
Yeah. Well, it is hunting because you're hunting for everything to get the princess.
That would be like calling Pokemon Go hunting.
Pokemon Go was hunting. You were looking for something. Is not looking for something hunting for something?
I don't know.
Looking and hunting are almost the same exact thing. And let's say you were out walking around looking for something in the wild, the woods, the parks, everywhere. I'd say you were Pokemon hunting. Gotta catch them all.
Gotta catch them all. Yeah. All right.
How fast that fizzled out.
Winter hit.
That fizzled out altogether.
So,
well, winter hit like 2 years ago and hasn't stopped.
I thought it was last summer. I don't know.
It's funny because I watched a vlogger called Adam the Woo, and I've been watching him. Like, I watch his stuff randomly.
Okay.
But there's times where it's like, you know, he's like, oh, here's people doing the Pokemon Go thing. And, you know, it's like, oh, my God. He went to a park in Orlando, and there was like probably 150 people hunting.
Well, like Kings Island had a whole bunch of like pokey stuff, so people did that a lot. Anyway,
trying to get people to come to the park and pay to go in there. Pokemon Go,
exactly.
Huh? Come on.
There's people. You just wait in line. You'd see people waiting in line. Apparently, okay.
I just set that up at a damn grocery store and have them come in there.
in the different aisles.
And that's where the difference is. Going to a grocery store and shopping for groceries is gathering. Because you're just going to one place. You know what you're going for.
All right. Well, now toy hunters will be able to go on to Amazon and just continue buying their toys from Amazon. So
toy hunters can go to the independent toy stores that are throughout the country that seem to be popping up, like Gremlins getting wet. And that's the way. I mean, everybody, this is the thing. Everybody's like, oh, Toys R Us is leaving. I got to go to the store and buy Toys R Us.
Right.
Like, I was watching this weekend on Instagram, like, multiple people going to Toys R Us. I'm like, where were you when they actually needed you to be there?
So, other than our friend Roger losing his job,
yeah,
this doesn't bother me at all.
Well, that's why it bothered me. Because I work in retail too. Yeah. And I'm like, you know, that bothers me that people are like all whiny, whippy, whiny about it and then want to go to Toys R Us when they're closing, even though they're not on markdown, going and buying stuff now. It's like, it's a little late.
The 31 to 33,000 people losing their jobs. That's what bothers me about this. I don't have the affinity for Toys R Us. I think in Cincinnati, for the most part, the three Toys R Us that are in our area.
Three.
Eastgate, Colerain, Kenwood.
Western Hills, Florence, Miamisburg.
I'm just talking about the 275 spine there, essentially, right there. But, like, anyway.
That's why Western Hills closed first. Why it was, because it was nowhere near anything that was, like, you know, and it was a hot mess.
But for the most part, Well, that's the thing. But all of them around here were.
No. I meant on closeout. It was a hot mess.
The Toys R Us around here are typically dirty. At least in Cincinnati. I'm not talking about the Dayton or Beaver Creek one. But they're typically dirty. They're typically run by people who really don't care.
Yeah.
They don't have a ton of stock.
Well, I think the employees care. I don't think management cared.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, at Kenwood, there's a lot of employees who didn't care.
It's the same everywhere.
So,
any retail establishment, there are people who don't care. But if management doesn't care, then you're really screwed.
Right.
And your store gets really screwed at that point.
I think just management in general for Toys R Us, from the corporate office down.
Yeah.
They just didn't care about what they had.
Well, they didn't pay their bills.
Well, they couldn't pay their bills when they went from being a public company to a private company.
Right.
They were bought out by Bain Capital, which is a huge fund. And what happens is when these companies kind of divest public companies into private, they end up saddling these companies with a huge amount of debt.
Right.
And they had something like $5 billion in debt. They had a $400 million a year interest payment that they had to make.
Right.
And so you're never going to survive with that.
No, that means that company bought them on purpose to shut them down.
So think of it. So if you want to look at it kind of in terms of another institution that's probably going to be falling here in the next 10 to 20 years.
The United States?
Well, colleges. So at college, you go now, and you come out $100,000 in debt in most cases, and you never get out of that eight ball. You never get out from behind that eight ball until you're in your 50s.
Right.
And that's awful, and that's no way to do it. And less and less people are going to college every year.
Sure.
They're doing other things. There's all these great certification programs,
colleges and stuff like
that. You can go to
a career center for your county in your state, probably pay $500 to $1,000 to get certified as a mechanic or an IT person or something like that. And you only have to pay back a couple thousand dollars.
Yeah. Well, there's
because you're going to get interest on it, obviously.
There's an online school called Treehouse.
Yeah.
And you get coding certifications.
Right.
It's $2,400. And the $2,400 one is for a whole year.
Right.
They go through, you get certified in code, and then they teach you how to do your practical interview. They get you all set up. It's this great, great thing that it's kind of the new paradigm of where education's going to go. But at the end of the day, much like that, Toys R Us just got saddled from a larger institution with a whole bunch of debt that they couldn't pay back, and they didn't morph with the times quick enough. I know you used to buy stuff off of ToysRUs.com, and you would go to the in-store to pick
it up. Yeah, I did that a few times.
But
yeah.
You hear the horror stories about, they said it was there, and then by the time I got there, they sold it to somebody else. You know, and that was
I never really heard that
was the crappy
kind. I never had that happen.
I saw those on Instagram and things like that. There's just a lot of the crappy. Well, and I don't know if it's true or not.
That's what I was going to say is, and it's the same as where I work at, is people do their little receipt reviews and that. And most of the time I'm like, if you can't give an accurate time, day, and anything like that, don't complain about it.
Right.
If you can't give me the name of the person who was a problem or, you know, something that was the problem and give me the time and date, don't complain about it.
Yeah.
Because guess what? You're coming back. And that's the thing is the people who shopped at Toys R Us were still going to Toys R Us, even if it was dirty and dingy and all that stuff. Because enjoy the hunt.
I don't think I would.
It is. It is. We enjoy the hunt. Sure. Yeah.
Like, I know you go to Toys R Us way more than I did.
Well, sure.
I would go in maybe once a quarter.
Well,
once
and every it, three that's where it, like, aggravated me about the whole people going this past weekend because they announced that they're going to close all their stores and they felt that they need to.
It was a show of solidarity.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You're too late.
Too little.
You're too late. And I was talking to Roger about it, and I told him, I said, you know what? I said, I always made an effort, and I still do, to go into Toys R Us, look for something. I may not buy something every time I go in, but I would make the effort of stopping there if I was in the area of a Toys R Us, walking in, showing that, you know, I still support the company in the way that I will come in and look to see if there's something I want to buy.
I think a lot of people like gasped and fell over when you said you went in somewhere and didn't buy something just a second ago.
I go in and look more than I buy.
I know. I know.
I really do. It's kind of, you know, weird.
It's your thing.
But there's nothing in these places.
Yeah, that's the problem. Yeah. Is,
well, and it's not just Toys R Us. I mean, here's what Toys R Us's problem was. And, you know, I don't know when Bain bought them or whatever. They were doing this thing where they were marking stuff up $5 to $10 more than what it was in retail, in regular retail, like Walmart.
They had a 20% markup on just about everything.
Yeah, and they did that for a while. Then they dropped down to regular prices, like regular the merchandising advised price.
Right.
Then they started jumping back up. Then they went back down to that. Like it's like management couldn't figure out.
Yeah.
You know, their head from their ass.
You never knew what the price was going
to
be. When
and I'm like, if you walk into a place and the price is not what it's supposed to be, then, you know, you're not going to buy it there. Yeah. I'll go somewhere else and buy it. Yeah. Most of the time, it was not Amazon.
No.
Here's my thing as a toy collector. I prefer not to use an online service.
Right.
Because I don't have it in my hand to see if it actually is the one I want.
Like, I want to look at the paint app. I want to make sure it has all the pieces.
I want to make sure that the eyes are both where they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, in the Luke Skywalker Black Series figures.
Oh, that one.
That
was
a huge problem, right?
Yeah.
It was. He was like crazy.
I think somebody was just having some fun there.
You know, Steve Buscemi's character in Mr. Deeds.
Yes,
like that's what Luke looked like. He was crazy eyes.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have some links in here.
Mark Hamill's kind of crazy eyes though. I mean,
he is. Yeah. He's got the big.
He's got the Joker eyes.
The lizardy type eyes. Well,
he's got
the
Joker. He's got that Joker crazy thing going on.
Okay, so I have some cool links that I found. The first one is Amazon is considering buying quote unquote Toys R Us.
I don't think they're looking at the store buildings. I think they're looking at the actual warehouses where they were storing stuff.
It says here the soon to be vacant spaces for its own purposes. And what they want to do is they bought 450 Whole Foods locations last year for groceries. And this what this does is it gives Amazon a foothold in almost 800 neighborhoods around the country to put more toys, to put more groceries.
Will they be retail buildings, though? Or will they be
warehouses? So Amazon is desperate to get into the brick and mortar space, right?
Are they dumb?
Well, no, because what they want to do is they want to capitalize on the Amazon Now or the, hey, I'm in the neighborhood. There's the Amazon store. Let me just go in because I know they're going to have it. And they do that.
But they're
going to
turn into every other retail establishment.
Well, that's the problem, right? So Walmart has already done this.
Here's the thing. Here's where I'll go with this at. Perfect example is the Mysterio figure that was,
the one with the green head or just
No, just the Mysterio figure in general. Friday, they all went up on Amazon, $19.99. 10 minutes later, Mysterio's gone.
Yeah.
There's one left. It's $45.
Yeah.
How, if you're not going to have it on your website available, how are you going to have it available in a brick-and-mortar store?
So I think
you're not.
So I think what they want to do, and this article just kind of conjectures that, but so from my perspective, if I'm them, what I want to do with brick-and-mortar stores is I want to have this available everywhere, and you can either order it and it'll be shipped to you, or you can order it and you'll go get it, or you do something like Amazon Now, where you can order it and they'll just drop it off in an hour. But I think, though, it's going to be less of a retail play, and it's more of, hey, we want to use these locations because they're in the middle of urban and suburban neighborhoods.
Well, sure.
Where we can do our Amazon Now, our grocery delivery, our goods and services delivery, and all of that stuff, and they're just going to be these huge, you know, 30,000 foot spaces.
With one little front room.
With one little front room.
Yeah.
That are
so you won't be able to walk around.
Right. But they're going to be able to get it for pennies on the dollar.
Hey, I'm here to get my
think of like when you go to FedEx to pick up something.
Yeah.
You know, it'll be like that. There's just that area if you've ever had to do that.
I don't.
So that's one. You know, and it's interesting to think about. Another one here is USA Today had a five reasons why Toys R Us failed to survive.
Bankruptcy.
The very first one is the company's debts were too much to bear. Number two, they called it terrible timing just because they've had like layoffs and they're blaming it kind of on like a down economy, which the economy is doing really well right now. The fact that all these independent toy shops are popping up, like with Gremlins, who got wet, tells me there's a real surge in that market right now. It says here the competitors turned up the heat, which I don't necessarily agree with that one at all.
That would be that the competitors on the level of Toys R Us would be Walmart and Target.
But I don't think they turned up the heat.
I think they did in a way because it all ties to Star Wars. It really does. Toys R Us was the only one who used to do Force Friday.
Right.
Like, do those Friday night things.
So you think adding those
events. And now adding those events in, like Target added that in, and then Walmart did too. Is adding that event in made people not go to Toys R Us? We didn't go to Toys R Us
at
all
this year.
This past year.
For Last Jedi, we did not go.
We didn't go to Toys R Us at all. And it was one of those things where it's like.
But that's because we got burned on Rogue One.
Well, you know.
Because we went to Rogue Friday.
Because you get managers who have friends who are scalpers. And
when they tell you can
it's
only
the thing
get
where
you know,
it's
a certain number, and then you see someone walk with a cart full of every single Black
Series
figure.
Well, it's what we talked about. Yeah. Management didn't care enough about the customers.
Right.
That's the thing with when you're in retail, and you, be it your department manager, a store manager, upper management, you have to care about the customer.
Yeah.
And that's where I say the customer has to understand that if you have a problem, you have to talk to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just put it down on a piece of paper because guess what? It's probably not going to get fixed.
Right.
And doing a review, a Yelp review or you know any kind of Amazon reviews or anything, they don't care.
Well,
half the time, they're probably not reading it. Yeah.
So, all right. So number four, it says here, vendors got skittish. And it says... you know, it had they faced unexpected delays and disruptions in product supplies during their bankruptcy. That you know the recipe. That creditors realized that their investments were doomed and things like that. But you know, I don't think Hasbro got skittish with Toys R Us at all.
No, it was the smaller guys like NECA.
Yeah. Okay.
So NECA, I think in the last couple of years, NECA had been. Shipping their stuff in with a bill, like a bill of lading.
Oh, okay.
So you have to pay that like right away.
COD.
Yeah. Like, you know, you get it, you pay it.
Do they send things to people COD anymore? Do you remember that cash on demand?
We don't get them at work like that, but we have.
Well, I'm saying just to individual people. I don't think I don't think that's a
thing
anymore.
They don't do it, but like companies do it.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, an example with where I work at is, you know, we get movies. Like from a company, you know, that they have a contract with.
Right.
They come with bills. You have to pay that bill immediately.
Right.
Because if you don't, the, you know, person's going to come knocking at your door. And I think that's why NECA was started doing that. And I'm betting that other small companies were doing that.
Yeah.
Because I seen posts about.
I wonder if Funko did that.
I don't think Funko did that because Funko just like blew up so fast.
Yeah.
And that, but like the Pokemon cards is a good example. Some of these Toys R Us's, the Pokemon cards are gone because the outside vendor that was servicing that came in and took them all out.
Ah.
You know, wrote Toys R Us a credit and said, here you go, and took their stuff. And, you know, they probably took it to Myers and they probably took it to Target and that. Because, like, all that little stuff is not Toys R Us ordering it.
Right.
That's them just having an outside vendor come in and work it.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. So then the last one, it says, this time was different. It says, with the bankruptcy filing occurring in September, the holiday shopping season was always likely to be absolutely critical for Toys R Us And it was, but in 2017, holiday shopping, the season was different than any other. Between Thanksgiving and Christmas, Toys R Us said it typically would fare well against the competition because of significant inventory offerings and a strategy of selling late at high margins after competitors sell out of quote-unquote hot inventory and attracting last-minute shoppers for fear of online deliveries and it might not be made. And apparently that didn't happen this time.
Okay.
So, you know, I shared this list because, one, I don't agree with most of this. I think that, you know, essentially they have, it's not the right, the time was different and terrible timing.
Like the timing, like the timing, what, I mean, the timing of announcing
the bankruptcy,
that it's going on bankruptcy right before Christmas didn't hurt Toys R Us because I guarantee you all the orders were already done.
Yeah.
The, here's where you know, and this was something I was talking to her. We were in that Toys R Us that was closing. And I told her, I said, look around. And she's like, what am I looking at? I said, do you see any Valentine's stuff? I said, do you see any Easter stuff? I'm like, they knew before they announced the bankruptcy that this store was closing.
Yeah.
I'm like, they were planning on closing stores before the bankruptcy.
Yeah, at least a year ago.
Yeah, because there was nothing in there that had any kind of Valentine's stuff on it. And I'm like, Valentine's would have been the most recent holiday.
And that would have, and they would have gotten that in January 2nd.
Yeah, they would have had that in. And it would have been up right after Christmas.
I mean, Target has had Easter stuff up for 3 weeks. Exactly. You know, I mean, I'm sure your store is the same way. All right.
My store's had Easter up since the day after Valentine's Day.
Yeah, right.
And we had Easter stuff at the beginning of the year because, you know, Reese eggs are very popular. So, you know.
And then there's a whole
Ask about retailing strategies. It's no. Just, yeah, your head will explode if you're not in retail.
So then the MGA Entertainment Group, who does those LOL Surprise.
Yeah.
They're in talks to purchase the name and some of the locations in Canada.
Don't feel like it's going to be a purchase. I feel like it's going to be Toys R Us paying part of their debt. They owe MGA a lot of money.
Well, there's that.
Yeah.
But
so it's not going to be like, here, we're going to give you money because you owe us money. It's going to be, give us this and we'll figure out a balance.
Right. So there's this other company who wants, they want to keep the name, you know, and then KB Toys has been
yawn.
Exactly. Yawn. There's been that
if
company.
KB Toys, let me put it to you this way. And I don't know what company owns KB, the name or whatever. If you were going to come back, you should have already been back.
So Toys R Us owns the name KB Toys, right. I believe, if I read that correctly. And they own KBToys.com because I think if you type it in, it redirects to Toys R Us.
Okay.
So, which is what I read, but I don't know. Like, the source was kind of wonky, so I don't want to. I'm not running with that.
I'll take it with a grain of salt because guess what? KB Toys is not coming back.
KB Toys was great when it was just in malls, and it was a thing to do while your mom was in.
If you want to call it great.
Well, but it was four aisles of one aisle of good stuff and three aisles of crap.
Yeah.
And then everything front-loaded at the front that you might want to buy.
Right.
These people who look back fondly on KB Toys, you know what I miss more?
It's the fondly on KB. It's the fondly on Toys R Us. I don't have fond memories of either of those places.
You know,
yeah, they were places to get toys.
Right.
But there's nothing fond about it.
I miss Suncoast. If you want to talk about one that I miss, I miss Suncoast.
Yeah.
You know?
Do you miss Blockbuster at all? You worked for Blockbuster.
Well, I miss Blockbuster just because I worked.
Do you miss it? Do you miss it at all?
I mean, I stopped buying physical media forever ago.
Right.
You know, it's been everything I do is digital.
Do
now.
You feel like.
So there'd be no reason for a Blockbuster in my life.
I mean, you have a kid. I don't have any kids.
Yeah.
Do you feel like toys are on a downturn?
No, because the steady stream of between you and I,
we're right.
Spoiling the crap out of her with the steady stream of toys that come into this house. And then all of
but
her
she
friends.
Has no interest in video games or anything like
no,
that.
She likes,
like,
that
she
stuff.
Likes them, yeah, but she doesn't. She's not hardcore into
it. No, and you know, part of the reason she likes the toys like she does is because you and I.
Sure.
And we've taken
because
her with
we,
us before.
We do it,
and,
yeah.
But the other thing.
I remember her coming to my house one time and just like, you know, literally like her eyes were as big as saucers.
Yeah. But
I didn't even have a lot of stuff
out
at that
point. There wasn't a lot
out
that time.
If you walked into my house now, it looks like a toy warehouse.
Yeah. Like that one day I was helping you with your computer and like everything was out. And,
yeah.
I was messing with your sword.
Well, it's like she went upstairs and she's even like, there's even stuff up here. And it's like, well, yeah, I collect toys.
So her, I thought this was maybe just her.
Yeah.
But I ask almost every new parent that we come in contact with, and I ask them this question. Does your kid ask to just go to Target?
Mm-hmm.
And unequivocally, 9 out of 10 say yes. Like, but that
are they just asking
to go
look at toys?
They just want to go walk around Target, and they always end up in the toy section.
Okay.
And so they're looking at toys, and they, you know, they want to get something, and the way we parents are with our kids nowadays, you typically get them something little at least, right? So I think what Target has done that Toys R Us failed to do is to make it just this place that you want to go walk and look around.
Well, sure. Target is somewhat interactive.
Yeah.
I mean, there is stuff there to interact with. And I think that's where Toys R Us missed the boat, is mm-hmm. they had the opportunity to make a toy store that was interactive.
Yeah.
Where they could have opened up toys and let kids play with toys.
Yeah. And check that, it out, like, before, you know, yeah, like, try before you
play with, the toy before you, you know, take it home.
See, but so the downfall with that then is I never would have bought those Thundercat toys.
Well, right. But
from
the second series,
is,
though, there's stuff that you would have bought.
Oh, I would have bought way more Ninja Turtles.
Well, right.
Because of how the most recent ones.
Yeah.
Because of how sturdy and amazingly built and just poseable and fun those figures
right.
are.
Right. And I mean, you know, that's the thing is, like, Lego sells itself.
Yeah.
Star Wars sells itself.
Yeah.
Marvel, to a certain point, sells itself. But there's toys like Turtles. Transformers at this point is one where they sell. But I don't think that kids are interested in unless they watch the cartoons.
Right.
And that, or the movies.
Right.
And it's the same with, like, Voltron and, you know, other smaller brands.
So what do you think, then, of the argument that they didn't cater enough to the adult collectors, that this is what toy stores should do now?
I think they cater to the adult collectors a lot more than they did to kids at this point. I mean, if you walk into that store, there was that whole collector zone thing.
Between
and then
where
Funko.
The, you know, well, yeah. So and most Toys R Us are laid out the same for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
So between where that military section is with, like, the fake guns and that sort of stuff, where
the G.I. Joe
in between the
G.I. Joe collectors area, because there's no G.I. Joe,
but it's where the girls' toys end.
Yeah.
And then that's that definitive cutoff line for the boys' toys.
Right.
I'm using air quotes there, all the way back to the video games.
Yeah.
Almost all of that is for collectors.
Mm-hmm.
Almost every single thing.
Well, there. I mean, you look at Marvel Legends is for not mainly for kids. They're for adult collectors.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, and I'm sure I'll get some feedback.
I would never buy my nephew a Marvel Legend or a Star Wars Black Series.
No.
Until he's older, if he still likes those things.
Yeah. And I mean, I think, like, you know, their collector zone,
mm-hmm.
where they had NECA and they had Mezco and they had Funko, where it's like all the higher end stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, that took up like 3 rows in some stores.
At least.
And it's like, yeah,
and never mind, like, the WWE stuff.
Yeah,
that's all that the WWE
Luckily,
figures are
like,
for
with
adults
the WWE's,
now.
WWE's kids love it enough that when the parent buys a WWE, like, I have friends who do it, or they buy 2 figures because they have to.
That's because the price point is good.
Yeah, and the price point. Yeah,
I think the Black Series are $5 too much. I think the Marvel Legends are $9 too much.
Really?
I'd pay like $12 for Marvel Legend. I think paying $20 is too much.
If you take the Build-A-Figure piece out, then it would be like $15.
I'm fine
bucks.
With that. Yeah. I don't need a Build-A-Figure.
But
to
everybody
want
else
to get
wants
a
Build-A-Figure.
Yeah, I get it. But just make that a bigger one and charge more for that one.
Yeah.
You know?
That wouldn't be fun.
I know.
It's not part of the hunt.
I know. I get it. But anyway.
It's all about the hunt. It is all about the hunt for most people. All
right. And then just the last thing, and we can keep talking about this for a minute. But so Business Insider, and I'll put this in the show notes. It's not there yet. So their liquidation sales will start as soon as Thursday. So yesterday, if you're listening to this on Friday.
Oh.
So that would be
March. Don't rush to the store because it's only going to be 10% off, guaranteed.
That would be roughly March 22nd.
Yeah.
And it says here, the company has notified workers that stores and warehouses in several states will shut down by May 14th, which they made in their government filing. And it says,
I want to know, like, are the warehouses cleared out?
I don't know.
Because I'm running up to the warehouses near Columbus.
So it says, okay, well, I'll get to the warehouses. I'll get to that bit. Okay. Yeah. So then it says here, the company will now, is now moving forward to liquidate all of its U.S. operations and close all of its retail locations in the U.S. And this is the FedEx letters that will go out to employees on, that went out on March 15th.
Okay.
And they were delivered via FedEx. So they've said here that they've told the stores, you will stay open until the cutoff date in May, which is May 14th, is where all the employees will be paid through May 14th, or until you run out of stock.
Then you sell the shelves and everything else.
Yeah, whatever. Well, I'm
well, sure they are. I mean, they're selling, yeah, like the one over in Western Hills had, you know, a sign up saying that everything was for sale.
Yeah.
They sold they sold the baskets, the shopping baskets. Oh, yeah. They sold the shopping baskets. I've seen one of my friends online bought a shopping basket. And I'm like, yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah.
They actually have something like that.
Maybe, yeah.
I bought a Jeffrey doll. I didn't know they made them. And I seen them on a wing. There was Jeffrey dolls and they were 50% off. And I was like, I'm buying one of those just because.
Cool.
And just cool, because it's the Jeffrey that's the current Jeffrey,
right?
Like anime cartoon looking Jeffrey. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, I'm buying a few of those.
All right. Well, cool. Do you have anything else you want to add to this?
Rest in peace.
Yeah. RIP Toys R Us. All right.
You know, I didn't mean to step on you. No, you're okay. I it's sad, but it's more sad that all these people are losing their jobs.
Yeah. That's the sad, yeah, part. It's not that there's one less toy. There's one less place for us nerds to go. And you know what? You know who has stepped up their game is Walgreens.
Yeah. They're trying.
So I'll just leave
but
that.
But they might step on themselves too.
I'm sure they will.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. Listen to our fun little Comixology commercial about Comixology. All right. Check out our commercial for Comixology Unlimited.
Listen to our commercial for Karma Karma Chameleon.
We'll be right back. Okay. Picture this. You're somewhere you don't want to be. And what's the one thing you always want to do? You always want to read comics. We all do. That's why we're here. All right. So here's how we can help you. Go to infamouspodcast.com/comixology. That's infamouspodcast.com/comixology. And click on the link to start your 30-day free trial of Comixology Unlimited. You can go on there and read books from Image, like Invincible. We've talked about Invincible on the show. You can read books like IDW. It is one of my all-time favorite comics. You can read Marvel, DC. I think they have Valiant now. There's a ton of stuff on there. It's great. And it's all free for 30 days to decide if you want to keep it. But definitely go check it out. It's well worth it. And you can read comics anywhere you are, from your phone, your tablet, your computer. It doesn't matter. So go to infamouspodcast.com/comixology. Today. All right, and we're back. So remember, check out Comixology. If you go to infamouspodcast.com/comixology, there's a link to sign up for Comixology Unlimited. And as always, if you use the code infamous between now and July 31st, you get $5 off when you spend $15. All right, season 5 of Voltron.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
I was fine with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was
the season of LOTOR.
It was definitely the season of LOTOR, which was the reason for the title of this week's episode. So the whole, like, Keith was only in like 2 episodes.
Yeah. Well, it was only 6 episodes.
Well, I get it, but like Keith is my favorite character, so I was kind of
they're not catering to me. Yeah, they're not doing it for you.
So for me that was kind of like, oh, well, I was, cuz I'm really interested in what he's doing with the Blade of Memora.
Meeting his mommy.
And then we got to see Keith's mom, which was awesome, which, you know, is something that fans were speculating about.
And we got to find out that there's something bad coming.
Yeah.
Whatever that weapon was, that was, you know, looked like an experimental Robeast.
Yeah, it's the vehicle Voltron to take on Voltron.
The vehicle Voltron. That's where they set up the whole thing with Pidge's dad going back to Earth.
Yeah. All right. So the summary for this one really sums it up nicely. Shocked by Prince LOTOR coming to their rescue in the fight against the evil witch Hagar, the Paladins struggle with whether or not they can really trust him. Though suspicious, Team Voltron is able to liberate more rebels with the aid of LOTOR's intel. Just as things start to look hopeful, Zarkon strikes, resulting in a shocking chain of events. Zarkon's mech armor was so freaking cool. It reminded me a lot of, remember the Batman cartoon?
The Batman. Yeah.
Where Kevin Richardson was the voice of the Joker. And yeah, Rhino,
Dreadlock Joker.
Yeah, Rhino. Crap, what's his last name?
I don't know who you're talking about.
He was the voice of Peter Parker on one of the Spider-Mans.
He's
a voice actor. He was the voice of the Batman and Bruce Wayne.
Oh, okay.
You know, where they did Batgirl first and then Robin came along, which was weird, but not entirely uninteresting. So, anywho, that's kind of what Zarkon's armor reminded me of.
Okay.
And I liked how that battle went down.
Yeah.
I think Lotor was great. I liked how Shiro sided with him.
Well, that's because Shiro's not Shiro.
And it became, like, I mean, they flat out said it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's always seemed something was off.
Well,
but
do the whole mind meld with the lions and, you know.
Yeah.
Lance is in there and Shiro's yelling to him.
Yep.
Yeah, because Shiro's in the lion.
Yeah.
That's the only reason the lion's operating the way it is.
Right.
Is because the real Shiro is the ghost in the machine.
You think?
Yeah.
You think he's dead?
I don't think he's dead. I think he's actually the lion. I think that he became part of the lion.
When he disappeared, when he evaporated.
Yeah. I think that he actually joined with the lion.
Okay.
That's why he was able to still communicate and, you know, because he's yelling.
Yeah.
Like he's yelling at him.
So do you think it was the ghost in the machine Shiro yelling in that, or was it the clone Shiro?
It wasn't the clone.
Okay.
Because the clone don't even remember
that
happening.
Yeah, he doesn't remember anything happening.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Number three.
You think it's
That's what he was called.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I
told you, go back and watch that scene. They said the third one's escaped.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Okay. The episodes, it was six episodes. It flew.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was, but I think also for the first time, it was this really coherent story.
Well, yeah, it was more watching a movie.
With just the little B plot of the Blade of Mamora.
Well, the Blade of Mamora actually fit into the whole story.
But it fit in well. Yeah. I mean, as the B plot, it fit in really well because they're all working towards the same things.
Right.
I think the girl, there were five of them. The one who fought with the knife.
What, Lotor's agents?
Lotor's agents. I think that one is Keith's sister.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
You know,
that she knows that she's...
And she knows who Keith is, and which is why she didn't kill him when him and Hunk were getting the fuel from that thing. But yeah, I got to say, one thing I would like to see less of on this show, and I understand
Pitch.
Why they do it, is Voltron forming.
Well, and that was a complaint that she had was, and it just goes back to the original.
Right.
It's always in space, and it's always the same. It's no background changes or anything.
Right.
But why can't you just say form Voltron, play little music, and then all of a sudden Voltron's there?
Well, what I would like to see is when they were flying away from that lava and they needed to form Voltron, to see it happen on the fly.
Yeah.
Right? So... You know, you have Shiro flying and the Black Lion goes into body mode.
Right.
And then, you know, the legs and the arms just attach.
Right.
And it doesn't have to have the pomp and circumstance to it. Like, I think that would have been a much more interesting way to do it.
Like,
it's probably harder to animate.
Joining up, like the music doesn't fit the process.
Right.
And that because it's just like this, you know, little techno gobbledygook, and it's like, you know, the original Voltron had epic music playing when Voltron, and it's like, you're not getting any of that.
No.
So if you had that music on that scene only, people would not complain about it at all.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
It doesn't have the gravitas.
Yeah.
Is the word.
Exactly.
But yeah, I loved Hagar's arc in this.
Like, coming back to the realization of who she is and realizing that Lotor's her son.
I mean, she's, 10,000 years old?
Yeah. I thought that's one thing. I'm like, the aging process of the Galra is really weird.
Well, she's Altaian.
And that's what I'm like. The Altaians, supposedly are gone.
So yeah, the only three known Altaians are Alora, Hagar, and Karan. Mm-hmm. And he's the last male, so like,
right, it's kind of weird.
And he's like totally asexual. Well,
Lotor's half Altaian, so
yeah.
When him and Alora get together and have babies.
Which was great. The whole thing with the two of them coming closer together and Lance just not having any of it.
What the hell?
It was so funny. I think Lance's character, they did a lot with him this season. Pushing him forward, growing him.
There was less Keith and more Lance this year, where last season was more the opposite.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we don't need a lot of Honk and Pidge. Like, Pidge's major story is over at this point.
It should be. But I think they went way overboard with Pidge this season. I think Pidge was really out of character in some instances instead of the cool and logical.
Yeah.
It was very much Katie.
Because of the whole thing with the dad.
With the dad and just the kill him, do this, do that. Like, just being very bossy and it was very un-Pidge-like.
More the emotional, like, child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there was that. And I think part of that, too, was just maybe her reverting because Matt, her brother, was there.
Yeah.
And
well, and all joking aside, the Vehicle Voltron thing is starting to really, like, if this show's going to go on for a while, the Vehicle Voltron is making more sense because Earth is going to be threatened.
Right.
And Matt's there.
And no, Matt stayed. Just
well,
the
no,
dad
but
went
Matt,
back.
Matt,
oh, yeah,
Matt's
Matt
there.
Is with them. Yeah.
Yeah. Matt's friends all make sense as being controllers of whatever the Vehicle Voltron will be. I don't think it'll be Vehicle Voltron like the 80s.
It's going to be cars.
I think they'll do something. It won't be like Transformers either. No. I think you're going to get a spaceship chest. You're going to get a, you know, a different things for different things. Like the Lions. The Lions still have the links to what they did in the original.
Right.
They just don't use it as much.
Right.
And I think that's what you're going to see with a Vehicle Voltron. But I don't think it's going to have its own series or anything. I just think we're going to see it at some point.
Yeah. Well, they've said they want this to be 100 episodes.
Well, sure.
So.
Yeah, they've got plenty of time.
Plenty of time.
Now, if we get the other Voltron that was the three robots, that would be kind of cool.
That would be interesting. Yeah. But remember a couple years ago when we were talking about this? I think it was when this one launched and we talked about all the other animals.
Well,
we
yeah.
wanted to see.
Yeah.
And gorillas made sense.
Gorillatron?
I still think Elephantron makes sense. Elotron.
Mm-hmm. I like Elephantron.
Yeah, Elephantron.
Yeah.
I think that would be really cool to see elephants in there, but yeah.
I think it's just going to be, you know, you're going to, and they'll do it like they've done before, like they did with the alternate universe and that, where it's going to happen and you're just not going to expect it to happen. Like, it's going to be, oh, we're going to go back to Earth and visit, you know, middle of the Civil War is going on and all that. But we got to go back and check on everybody. And they're going to roll up. And all of a sudden, it's going to be like, well, what's that?
Yeah.
And it's going to be like floating around the planet or something. Yeah, it's going to be like,
developing it.
Or they're going to go to the, you know, the base where they all left from.
Right.
And it's going to be like, oh, come in here and see what we're working on. And it's going to be like a giant printout of Voltron on the wall. And they're going to have like different vehicles and this has been a problem and blah, 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 blah. And Pidge, we need you to figure this out. How does the joining matrix work? Blah, 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 blah.
The joining matrix.
And I was even doing how they talk so rapidly.
Our Dynathrusters are not go.
Yeah, exactly.
So anyway.
But that would make some sense for a story element too.
Yeah.
Because then it's, you know, the whole thing of Lance bringing his mom back or Keith bringing his mom back. To Earth.
To meet up with his dad.
Exactly.
So, we knew Keith's mom was going to show up.
Yeah,
but
they
it
didn't
just
drag
kinda
it
came
out,
from out
but
of
it
nowhere.
It was like, you know, we're going to send you on this mission to this planet. You were going to meet up with our contact, she, and I'm like, oh, it's his mom.
But then she could use his knife, and like, I like how they
like,
just.
Literally, yeah. I was like, they did it where they were slick about it because most people wouldn't go, oh, it's his mom.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, it's his mom.
Yep.
And then when she grabbed his knife, she's swinging around like, yep, it's his mom.
Yep. Because she can use the knife just like the Sword of Omens.
He's like, wait a minute, how can you use that? Well, I went to Earth this one time and, you know,
I went to Earth and I got busy.
You know about the birds and the bees.
The Galra birds and Galra bees.
You know about the lions and the bees.
The lions and the tigers and the low torso.
Oh,
my
Lord.
Anyway,
but obviously in this universe, the crossbreeding thing is not like, you know, like if you look at other sci-fi like Star Trek, mm-hmm. they always talked about the difficulties between the mating of a Vulcan and a human.
Right.
And in this universe, it's pretty easy to crossbreed.
Yeah. Well, it's like we talked about last week with the breeding of the Twi'lek and the humans.
Yeah.
You know, someone from Columbus is calling Johnny. Answer it.
Not answering. I don't answer calls of people I don't know.
Answer it. We'll put them on the air. Yeah.
You're on the air.
So, but yeah, no, they were able to, you know, mate relatively easy.
Sure.
Obviously, human DNA is much stronger than Galra DNA because Keith is not blue.
Well, you know, that's a weird one there. Well, I'm curious to find out who's the father of his sister, if it is a sister.
Zarkon.
That's the thing I was thinking, too. It's like, you know.
And that's why her loyalties are mixed.
Yeah. Lotor's sister.
Yeah. Maybe they're all Lotor's sisters.
Ooh, wow. And that's why he recruited them.
I just now thought of that. Literally just in this moment.
But that would make sense of why he recruited them as his backup. And why they keep flipping back and forth.
Yeah. Because
they don't know. They don't know who to. Like, one of them's dead.
Yeah. But because it wasn't like
the other three are like, who are we? Who are we working for? Well,
and they still have the ship of the, or they don't, but the ship made of the quintessence,
right? Yeah,
comet metal is still out there. That'll be your three vehicle where it turns to look more like Voltron and less like three ships put together.
Ooh, like the vehicle Voltron will get knocked into that parallel universe to protect everybody from the Altaians.
Yeah,
that would be kind of cool.
That would be neat.
That would be a good spinoff.
That would be. It wouldn't even be a good spinoff. It'd be a good like. Like every third season, we go back and visit.
Yeah,
them,
like one episode. You know. Yeah,
or yeah, not even like do like a two or three episode
sure,
arc.
Yeah.
Every third season.
Yeah,
just to kind of keep us on our toes because that's once a year.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. There wasn't there like I feel like there's not a whole. I tipped. I hit the phone with my
damn
hand.
Damn it!
I don't feel like there was too much to say. Ooh, an Eastgate.
Okay, give me some back.
Anyway, this was a good season.
Yes.
I think this was very much a transitional season into the larger story, which it's the first time we've kind of had this. So if you think back to, so Joaquin DeSantis and Laura Montgomery were involved.
Does he post anything on, does he use social media at all?
I don't know. I don't follow them. Okay. Like, I haven't ever really looked.
I would be curious to see, like, how, like, Rebels, we know how Filoni and his group broke down the seasons and you know did all that. And I'd be curious to see how they break down these seasons, how production is done.
Yeah,
maybe that'd be something.
Because it's Studio Mir, so I imagine they run similar to Avatar. How Avatar
now,
did it?
How did Avatar air? Did it air like? You know, multiple like six episodes, and then it was off.
It was like, yeah, it was like kind of that normal Nickelodeon.
So this
where
is
they
a
air
this is a method.
This absolutely is, and this is a thing that Netflix is trying with all of their animated properties. Instead of doing what they did with Troll,
they have besides Voltron, Trollhunters.
Well, they have Trollhunters, and the first Trollhunters they just dropped 26 episodes, which I never even finished that first season because it's like, oh, I don't want to sit here and watch 26 episodes of this.
You but, go through every other show.
I know, right?
And they're a half hour, right?
Yeah.
So it is. It's like watching 13 episodes.
I get it. Trust me. I understand. But like they have the Croods. They have Turbo.
Oh, they have the Croods?
Yeah. They have,
I didn't know they had the Croods.
The How to Train Your Dragon.
Oh, yeah. That's right. I forgot
like they
about
have
that.
A ton of really cool animated properties that they work with right now. And there's a bunch of stuff that Haley watches, too, that's Netflix original that they do this. Like
would you want to see
Monster High or whatever? Those
so I don't.
Things.
Have you ever watched there was an original Voltron movie that was called Fleet of Doom?
Yeah, I remember that.
The one that was the vehicles and the lions team up. Would you want to see a theatrical release of something like that? If Netflix does theatrical releases of stuff now.
No,
you would not.
No, I would not.
What if it was?
Are you talking an animated movie?
Yeah, animated theatrical movie, hour and a half.
Sorry,
you're all right. Hour and a half, you know, like a theatrical animated movie usually is.
Yeah.
Fleet of Doom, but modern Fleet of Doom.
Right.
Would you want to see that in a theater and then, you know, it'll be on Netflix in a week? Like if they did one of their Fandango, you know,
Where
Netflix,
it's just like one night, just like one random Monday.
Two nights of a week. Yeah.
I'd probably go see that.
Would
in
you
the
go
theater.
See that?
Yeah,
yeah.
I like think if it was like cool. an IMAX or something like yeah. that, definitely.
Yeah.
Like just to see.
Because I think Studio Mirror's animation probably would translate well onto a big screen.
Yeah. I mean, I saw like, it's like thinking like the Transformers movie, right?
Yeah.
Like I saw that on the big screen. Sure. I mean, I was a kid, obviously, right. but like I would take Haley to see
But
that.
I mean, like they're filming this in HD.
Yeah.
So the Blu-ray, which would translate really well onto a big screen.
Ideally, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's like I'm kind of leery. And, you know, I own it on DVD, the Avatar box set. The
Blu-rays come out this complete. July.
I'm leery of that thing because. Because
they didn't.
They're
do
translating it,
yeah.
it into Blu-ray. You
well,
know?
It's like they did with Buffy and Angel and that kind of
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah. So I'm like, yeah, I'm fine with having the DVDs it. Of that. You know, I am upgrading like well, most of my.
I think
DVDs
from what I understand
Blu-ray.
About Avatar is they remastered it. So it's not just an upgrade that
they went back and redid the whole thing?
I don't think they redid the whole thing, but they remastered, like, they went and cleaned things up so it
wouldn't.
Yeah,
but see,
so,
even
like,
that, even so, that's, like, kind
of,
like.
One of the guys who went
George
Facebook,
Lucas remastered all Star Wars, and we see what happened there.
Okay, so one of the guys on my Facebook friends list worked on the Star Trek The Next Generation Blu-rays.
Okay.
And so there
I
was
I can't
a,
see a difference.
There was a fair, but there was a fair amount that went into making that, like, crystal clear. They did the same thing with Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah.
So. But Battlestar Galactica was always kind of grainy anyway, just because that
well, yeah,
was the style
it's
of the
like
show.
Like a war movie.
But yeah, I think as far as seasons go, this was the first time we've had a transitional season, which is, I think, was sorely
I don't
needed.
I think that was a problem.
No, I think because what happened is it we got to the end of Zarkon. Finally.
Yeah, I was gonna say that was the one positive thing about this season is Zarkon needed to go, and I like this idea of a Galra civil war.
Yeah,
like because they all were out for it anyways. They were, you know, everybody was at the door.
The
and
I
just
liked,
to see those space fights.
Well, there's that. I really loved the idea of how the Galra claim leadership.
Yeah,
that was and it was so cool when Lotor and. Shiro showed up there and, you know, just the way they battled for it and the whole
Klingons.
Idea of it. It was, yeah.
Bunch of Klingon.
It was very much like, again, going back to Avatar, where Aang and Zuko found the original firebenders.
Yeah.
And, like, going up the steps to get the fire. That's yeah. all I was thinking about.
Well, and do you think Lotor's going to turn on him?
Yeah.
Now that he don't have magic powers?
Yeah.
Because he did it wrong.
He's done. He's
because he had that look on his face when she came out and like she's the mage.
He's pissed that she has the power yeah. that he thought he deserved.
Yeah.
But he went in guns blazing.
Right.
And that's not how you do it.
Yeah, he was too much Lotor, not enough, you know, Altaian.
Did you think they were going to add a actual white lion?
Yeah, when I seen the title of that episode, I was like, ooh, a white lion.
So the final episode is titled White Lion. Okay, well, first off, the episodes this season were titled really well. You had The Prisoner, Blood Duel, Postmortem, Bloodlines, and then White Lion.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, that's like, this is just
you're
cool
waiting for like
a
guitar riff. White yeah. Lion.
White Lion. But I thought it was going to be like a Tommy situation for Power Rangers almost, where Lotor got a lion.
Oh, you thought that Lotor
like,
was going to get a
like,
lion?
Because I was like, oh, they're gonna totally flip the script, and yeah. he's going to be an ally
yeah.
until he's not. And he is.
Until he finds out that Hagar is his mom.
Yeah.
Mommy!
But I don't think he's an ally at this point.
No, no. Well, he's an ally, but he's one of the ones that they have to be leery of.
Yeah.
There's plenty of those out there already.
Yeah, true.
I don't know. I mean,
anyway, I think out of 10, I would give this probably a 7 for the season.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't great. It wasn't awful. It's an easy
3-hour watch.
Not even 3. I mean.
Oh, well, I mean. You know,
but yeah.
You,
but it definitely satiated
you,
my Voltron.
You can pause to go to the bathroom. You don't have to just keep watching it.
You can?
Yeah, you can pause to go get something to drink and some food.
Wait, you can?
That's the glory of Netflix.
I wish somebody would have told me that with Jessica
well,
Jones.
You know. I've not heard good things about that yet.
It is solid, but not okay. fantastic. Right. And we can talk about that more at another
eventually.
Time. But
I'm not in a rush to watch it, really. I'm not in a rush to watch it.
So I love Kristen Ritter.
Sure.
Like, she's awesome. I've been a big fan of her since she was on Veronica Mars.
Right.
And I loved her on Breaking Bad. That was one of the few things I liked early on in Breaking Bad was her character.
Right.
And then she did that stupid comedy right. on ABC that I just loved. And mainly for her and James Vanderbeek, which is just hilarious sure. to think about. And if you remember, I was leery of her as Jessica Jones.
Yeah.
And I was so happy to be wrong. Yeah. Because I think she plays the character very well.
It's just this season doesn't have, like, you know, even watching the trailer and that, mm-hmm. it doesn't have an idea of a focus like the last season did.
I'll tell you when we get off air. Yeah. I don't want to spoil anything. But for listeners.
It's all in her head.
Anyway. All right. Well, hey.
That would be an awesome twist.
That would be a great twist.
But she didn't kill Purple Man at the end of the season, that it was all in her head?
As she's on a table somewhere. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I think a 7 out of 10 is fair. I think overall the series is still easily a 9 out of 10. It's one of the better animated series that we've got recently. It's probably the best animated reboot so far.
Yeah.
And that counts all those Transformer.
I like Transformers Prime. I think Prime was a decent.
Can you hear that? Yeah. So I hear it in that. Anyway, it was just a real room.
Yeah.
So awesome. It's real low. Listen, but it won't be in the.
Listen to the sound, people.
No, it's already out by the time it gets there.
Boring.
Anyway, I think Voltron, as far as like animated reboots, is the best one they've done so far of any of them.
What are we ranking? What are we ranking here? Are we ranking the He-Man?
Yeah, I'll go with He-Man. I'll go with Thundercats. I'll even go with like Justice League Action, Teen Titans Go.
I haven't watched Justice League Action at all. Yeah.
Ugh. Even Batman Brave and the Bold, I'll put that on as kind of a pseudo reboot.
See, even I though I like really like reboots.
That. But all right.
Well. Transformers Prime.
So. Yeah, Transformers Prime would be
would
a
probably
reboot.
Be the most rebootish of all the.
Yeah, which I really
like. Rescue Bots is not; it's made for kids. Yeah. Rescue
I like Bots Transformers Prime a lot.
Yeah,
but I think Voltron,
what I watched of Transformers Prime, it legitimately was a decent, like, reimagining of that history.
When you get to the end of that series, yeah. I mean, all stakes are like it's right. all high stakes. No, but okay, so if we do,
and I haven't watched that.
All right, let's just stick with like 80s genre, right?
Okay,
so we have He-Man. We have Thundercats. We have Voltron.
Okay.
And I go...
Because neither one of us probably watched G.I. Joe Resolute.
Oh, no, I did watch that. So then we have G.I. Joe Resolute. I totally forgot. Okay. So I go Voltron,
mm-hmm.
He-Man,
okay.
Thundercats, G.I. Joe Revolution.
What about Transformers?
Prime. Prime. I put Prime third.
Okay.
So it goes Voltron...
He-Man,
Transformers, Thundercats, G.I. Joe.
Okay. That's pretty much right, yeah.
And I loved that Thundercats series.
I think for me, like, but, you know, not watching all of Transformers.
Yeah.
He-Man's probably second, and it's flipped on that one.
Yeah.
But, like, the animation, the story.
I put He-Man second.
The idea, well, you said Transformers and then He-Man.
When I
reminded you Transformers was there.
Yeah, so no, I go.
Oh, Transformers is third?
Transformers is third. So, yeah, because I said, oh, I forgot Transformers.
I think for me, Transformers is third just because I haven't watched it all. Thundercats didn't get a chance.
Right.
Like one season. And then
it opened up too many cans of worms that it didn't get a chance to
fill. I don't think it did. I think it just never got a chance to get out of the gate. Like it went too slow at the beginning. They were trying to do Avatar.
Yeah.
Because Avatar had been around at that point. So they were trying to do Avatar,
studio like mirrored look and feel,
whole sight beyond sight, yeah. like taking him almost the whole season to get sight beyond sight and all that type of stuff. And I'm like, you could have just like had it where he was trained to do all that at first. I like the ideas that Thundercats was throwing out there, and mm-hmm. I don't think they got a chance to go with the ideas of the planet being a colonized mm-hmm. planet, where they came from, and how Mumra was actually attached to them.
Mm-hmm.
The same with He-Man. He-Man had two seasons and didn't get a chance to do that third season that would have been the Horde.
Right.
and She-Ra would have showed up and that type of
but
stuff.
But those two seasons of He-Man,
those
we
two
got
seasons
were
of He-Man
amazing.
Are solid, solid story, solid, you know, everything. I've told people about it, you know, for the fact that Prince Adam and He-Man are two different people.
Yeah, Prince Adam's a kid.
Yeah.
Little teenage kid.
Like 17 years old. And
he's a turd.
Yeah. But he's still playing up that.
But yeah. But
no, I like the idea that he was still playing up that he's not He-Man.
Right.
But he didn't look like He-Man.
Right.
Whereas Prince Adam in the original one looked like He-Man.
Yeah, it's like, all right, Prince Valiant.
He just got tanned really fast. Yeah. When the lightning striked, he was tanned. And then the tan would go away when the lightning would pull out of him.
Right. So, I mean, to tie it back into Voltron. So the way they reimagined Prince Adam in that He-Man movie to the way they've reimagined She-Ra for Sven.
Sure.
And the way they reimagined Keith for this
a half-breed.
Way more complex character than what he was originally.
Yep.
Has been great.
Well, and you could say this year, Lance has gotten a little bit more complex.
Yeah, definitely.
You know,
I think Lance has been the fun character to follow all along.
Yeah.
Hunk is the heart of the team.
Sure.
And then Pidge is the intellect.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's one of those things where...
But I mean, the comic relief, like I've told people that this Voltron is good for the fact that there's a serious story going on,
mm-hmm.
but the comic relief that's in there is done right.
It's so well timed.
Like the robot thing this year with them like reprogramming the robot mm-hmm. and doing that whole thing and like right. the robot finally being like, launch me. And that, and it's like, you know, you're going to die. And it's like, yeah, I don't care. Do it. Yeah. So, I mean, that whole little like break in the story with the comedy was mm-hmm. cool, and that, but it's like the show takes itself seriously enough when it has to.
It takes itself as seriously as it needs to
mm-hmm.
for a cartoon that is meant to bring in a new generation of kids and satisfy an addition mm-hmm. a generation of adults
and people who've never even watched it before.
And it absolutely does all
I mean
three
and
of
that's what's cool
well.
Like with Netflix is they have that Voltron 84
mm-hmm.
on there where people from the show that work in the production and
right.
actors picked some of their favorite episodes. And it's like for people who've never watched Voltron, that is a cool thing mm-hmm. because, you know, then you don't have to watch the whole thing. I do recommend Fleet of Doom though. Fleet of Doom actually is pretty cool.
It'd
not
be
just
nice
because
if they
it's
put that on
Vehicle
Netflix
Voltron, but just because it's
you and your
it's,
Vehicle Voltron, man.
It's just a cool story because it's like the ultimate battle.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, yeah.
It's what
point,
it all
it's
built
like
towards.
Voltron needed that support from, you know, the one that was created because of him.
Vehicletron.
Yeah, Vehicletron.
Cartron.
No, not Cartron. Then it sounds like sounds like Pixar cartoons.
It really does, doesn't it?
So. That would be awesome. Mater shows up.
So speaking of Tron and Pixar,
yeah,
just the word Tron and Pixar, why don't they do Tron as Pixar movies moving forward?
I don't know.
That would work way better.
Because it's not a Pixar property.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. Well, on that note, anything else to add?
Nope. That's it.
All right. Thanks for listening, especially to our tangent there at the end. But if you're listening this far, you know we like to do our tangents here and there. So, yeah.
At least they're not drunken tangents. That would be really bad.
God, we'd never... We'd still be, like, talking about Toys R Us.
We'd be throwing up somewhere on the floor.
All right.
At this point.
Well, on that note, guys, thanks for listening.
Toys R Us.
Make sure to check out our Patreon page.
Remember,
Jeff, why Johnny's crying.
Out of parking lot. Somebody put that commercial up. There's commercial that was Jeffrey and his, I don't know if it was his sister or his niece and nephew or whatever, but like somebody put that up and I'm just like, God, this is why Toys R Us is like.
All these people have been like, we belong to that one toy group on Facebook.
Yes.
And I think every single Toys R Us commercial has been shared over the last couple weeks.
Just
so it's
stop.
Like, are you guys kidding? Like, cut it out.
You know what I want you to share? Share the kid running through the store with a cart, getting as many toys as he could into the cart. Yes, that was awesome.
Yeah.
When they would put that video up, like, you know, when they would show that, like, the kid who won on the news and that. And it's like, that's what every kid wanted to be, was that kid.
At some point, what we should do is
somehow they get a bike in a cart.
Yeah.
Like one kid would get a bike in a cart and you're like,
it was
what?
Time Lord technology. It was bigger on the inside. We should rate our favorite toy stores at some point, like after Toys R Us is closed.
Yeah,
and,
but
like,
there's the local one that like nobody outside of the tri-state
areas. I'm saying we
areas.
Should do our like big, like, you
all
know,
the big
anyway.
Ones.
There I mean, was it only doesn't two. Need to be a whole.
What was there besides Toys R Us and KB?
Well, I mean, there was Suncoast and...
That didn't count as a toy store.
Really? I always got toys there. Anyway.
No, that was a video store that sold toys.
That was a horrible idea on my part.
Yeah. You're talking like...
That's like GameStop. Counting GameStop as a toy store.
That's what I was going to say. You know, it's like there's all these stores that sell toys so they can get you in to buy their stuff. And like games or, you know, comic books or stuff like that.
Last thing real quick. If you're listening to this on Friday or early Saturday morning, I will be at Gym City Comic Con walking around on Saturday with the Kidbot. So, yeah, say hi.
I'll probably be using a flamethrower somewhere or other.
Yeah, you got a rough weekend ahead.
Oh, man.
So.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, guys. We will be back next week.
Later.
The Infamous Podcast is recorded in Kings Mills, Ohio, just north of Cincinnati. You can find new episodes every Friday on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, our website, or anywhere podcasts are downloaded. The show is hosted by Johnny Podorf and me, Brian Tudor. Our music is Moose from bensounds.com. You can find more information out about the show by visiting us online at infamouspodcast.com or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Infamous Podcast. There you can stay up to date with the latest news about the show and what's going on in the world of comics, movies, TV, and more. We also have a Patreon page. That's patreon.com/infamouspodcast. We have some great rewards for our patrons, and we're looking for help to grow the show so we can bring you more of the content you want to hear. You can find Johnny on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as at Johnny Podorf, and I'm on most social networks as at Brian Tudor. So whenever you're listening to us, have a great day, night, evening, weekend, whenever it is. And we'll see you soon. Thanks for listening. Later.